The Korean scientists' achievement is certain to reopen the ethical debates surrounding research on human embryos and on human cloning. Jeffrey Kahn is director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are the ethical questions about using embryos in research?
Well, the questions really revolve around the moral status of human embryos. And for those who think that human embryos have the same moral status as you and I do, as full-grown human beings, then it would be unethical to do research on them that harms or destroys them. But there's a wide range of views in answer to that question, including the view that human embryos are really nothing more than tissue like any other tissue we might find in a human body. And so because there's such a wide range of views about the moral status of embryos, we have a wide range of views about whether they should be used in research.
Is there any difference between a cloned embryo and one made the old-fashioned way?
Well, the difference is the genetic makeup of a cloned embryo. So when an embryo is cloned, they have the same genetic makeup as the single person from which the cells came. So effectively, it makes an identical twin of the person from whom that the DNA came that made the clone, an identical twin, but one that was made many years after the birth of the original person. So that's a big difference between the way a normal embryo is made and one that is cloned.
What about cloning? Does it make any difference whether you're cloning to make a baby or cloning to make stem cells?
I think that's actually an important distinction in this particular story. So many people believe that it's wrong to clone for reproductive purposes, that is, to make a genetic copy of another individual, but that it's totally acceptable to clone a human embryo for the purpose of stem cell research and maybe eventually for therapeutic purposes, to make stem cells that could be used in regenerative medicine, to transplant into a person who needed them, say, to cure a disease like diabetes. And so that's a big difference for many people, and the argument is that we ought to find a way to prevent cloning for reproductive purposes, but to allow it for therapeutic and research purposes.
A distinction made by such politicians as Orrin Hatch of Utah, for example.
Correct, who's an opponent of abortion, but who favors cloning for therapeutic purposes but not for reproductive purposes. So it tends not to track exactly with the abortion debate, which has made for some interesting bedfellows in the political debate.
Debate's been going on for a long time. Is there likely ever to be a consensus?
Well, that's hard to predict. I think that as we get down the road towards more concrete results from science like is being reported today, that we're likely to see more people line up on the side of the debate that will allow therapeutic cloning but will prevent reproductive cloning, and that may actually lead us closer to a consensus, but maybe not one in which everybody agrees on the proper outcome.
Does this new research change that debate at all?
I think it does in the sense that it gives some real concrete evidence, let's say some meat on the bones of what has been up to now really a hypothetical kind of speculative science. That is, the ability to clone embryos, take the cells that are in them, turn them into colonies of stem cells, and potentially use them to cure real people who have real disease. That's different than has been available up to now, and I think when you see concrete evidence that it tends to polarize the debate in particular ways, and I think we'll see more talk about how to get this science to move forward without going down the road of cloning human beings for reproductive purposes.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey Kahn is director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis.